Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Hi everyone and welcome to the 49th episode of Praticamente Inglese. Hope you're doing well, guys. Great interview is coming up today. I would like to remind you guys to follow Praticamente Inglese on all the platforms like Spotify, Spreaker, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, everywhere so you can get notified when I release the new episode. And also you can follow Praticamente Inglese on all the social media like Facebook, YouTube, Patreon, Instagram, Telegram, LinkedIn, almost everywhere. I forgot to all the platforms where we are in. So today's we will have Daniel Ferry Jones, which is a freelance marketing journalist, and he's also studying a master degree to become an Italian to English translator, and that's amazing. He lived and worked in London for 20 years. He's a proper Londoner. And he spent a year and a half in Italy after completing his degree. And also he worked as an advertising agency intern in Milan. So there's a great, great connection with Italy. And I met him on Clubhouse and he's a great, great person. So I can't wait to introduce him to my audience. So welcome to Daniel. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Mattia. Thanks for inviting me on. How are you doing?
Great, and thanks for being with us. You know, I know you are a native speaker. First thing first, I want to say to my audience, you are from London,
more or less. Yeah, I live in London,
but you live in London. You are a proper British guy, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm very English.
Okay,
not in terms of like the stereotype of I wear a suit and tie. And I drink tea and I like cricket because I don't actually like any of those things. But in terms of where my family is from and where I grew up and how much of my life I've lived in England, I'm 45 now. And though I lived in Europe for 3 years when I was in my early 20s, the rest of my life I've been in England.
Okay, that's great.
So I grew up in a region called Surrey, which is to the south of London. So that's why I say I'm not exactly from London, just more or less.
Okay. Yeah, no, I perfectly know Surrey. You know why? Because I lived in the area of Walton on Thames, Weybridge. I don't know if you know that area. Yeah. I lived there.
I was
there.
Further east in Reigate.
Yeah. Great. And also, I know you kind of have a passion for Italy and the Italian language as well, right?
Yeah. So I said I lived in Europe when I was in my early 20s. So I was in Italy for about a year and a half of that. I think you want to know why am I learning Italian? And my answer is I'm kind of relearning it because I learned it when I was in Italy. I was working as a teacher of English as a foreign language, which obviously means you're lucky. You can turn up in a country not knowing their language and work. It's very nice for us English people. But, yeah. You know, I made the effort to learn Italian once I was there. And I was able to pass like the C1 level exam.
Okay.
After a year and a half. So, yeah, I was pretty good for an English guy. After I came back to...
You're starting again, let's say.
Yeah. After I came back to England, I got into journalism. So I've spent 20 years as a kind of news reporter and news editor for mainly for marketing magazines about the UK marketing industry.
So you are a journalist.
I haven't been using my Italian at all for work.
Okay.
So apart from the odd holiday, you know, with the years going by, I just forgot more and more of it. And then about 2 years ago, I decided to study to be a translator.
Okay.
Of Italian to English, because actually Italian is my best language. I did study French and German at school at sort of age 14, 15, GCSEs. The qualifications are known here. I also studied Spanish after Italian, but yeah, Italian was my favorite language. So I've been spending time relearning it.
What really motivates you, you know, to learn Italian? It's just because you want to start your career as a translator, right?
Yeah, I've got a lot of motivation, actually. I was thinking about this. So obviously you need good motivation because learning languages is difficult. It takes time. You need to have a reason for spending that time and like getting over the bad days. Like yesterday I was trying to explain to some Italians what my business plan was. And I was like, I was really hungover and I just couldn't make them understand me properly. So that was, it was not a highlight.
Okay.
But I mean, the motivation I have is basically, obviously there's a financial motivation because as a translator, the better my Italian, the more money I can charge people. But there's also like an intellectual and emotional motivation, I think. So intellectually, I like the challenge of learning a language, and it's kind of rewarding when people look up to you for your ability to communicate in a foreign language, which for an English person is quite unusual.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, people respect you. And then I'm like, the emotional reason I've got to learn, there's a phrase, unfinished business, which I think is a good descriptor of how I feel, because I feel like my time in Italy wasn't as successful as it should have been. But I mean, I really enjoyed being there, but I think I let myself down by not making enough of an effort to take more lessons. Mm-hmm. And I was quite shy. And the reason I needed to have better Italian was because I didn't just teach English, but I also worked as I did an internship in an advertising agency in Milan.
Oh, okay.
For 6 months. But yeah, I find that difficult. So I kind of got discouraged and decided to go back home to England. So if any of your listeners are like, they studied English at school and now they have to pick it up again after like 10, 20 years, I can sympathize.
Yeah, it's very difficult. But, you know, we are very motivated in here in this podcast. You know, the audience is normally very motivated to, you know, improve their English, their spoken English, mainly in the business environment. But what is your technique in terms of learning Italian?
Well, I'd actually say my translation. So I'm doing a master's degree in translation at University of Westminster in London. And that's quite a big influence because it really focuses on the reading and writing skills. Obviously much less than speaking and listening because I'm not training to be an interpreter. Just I'm working with written texts. So it's a 2-year course, which I'm doing part time. And in the first year, which was September 2019, we had a module focusing on translating Italian to English and another module focusing on translating English to Italian. So the idea is that having to translate in both directions shows you exactly how difficult it is for someone to translate into a different language than their mother tongue. I mean, the point is that professional translators ought to avoid translating out of their native tongue rather than into their native tongue. Anyway, because my Italian was really bad back in 2019, I definitely proved that point because my translations were full of like basic mistakes. But I think that focus on writing, you know, helped me to improve because our translations were marked by professional translators and that helped me understand where I was going wrong. So I think that kind of feeds into having a teacher. So they weren't Italian teachers, but I also have like lessons over the internet with an Italian teacher. And just that feedback is really helpful.
But what's the more difficult, word to understand in Italian or the structure of our language? If you want to pick an example for us, something that is very difficult to understand from your perspective as a English speaker.
I think without a doubt, like the biggest complication for an English person is the grammar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, English grammar is a lot more simple than Italian grammar.
True.
So a good way to explain it is like, English is like sort of a digital watch. Like, there are a few buttons that you can press, change the settings. But Italian's like a mechanical watch where and lots of like super complicated tiny parts that you have to get exactly right.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, obviously your nouns have genders, which is new to English people. Then there's all the various conjugations that your verbs have. And then, yeah, it's a real pain to remember all the forms when you're speaking. And then you have your subjunctive, which is like another level of difficulty. So I'm still working on mastering all the occasions on which you have to use the subjunctive.
But, what, you know, so you think that it's easier for an Italian to learn and understand English rather than the opposite, right?
Probably. I'm not going to say it's easier. Maybe there are different challenges, but I've met so many Italians who speak good English. Maybe it is easier. On the other thing that's difficult on the side of speaking is obviously the pronunciation of some Italian sounds, like era and gli, are quite difficult. So they require a lot of practice. But I think another sound that took me a while to get right is your o. And how different that is to the English O.
So, like, for example, as well, you say gli, like aglio, not the garlic. It's very difficult, right?
Yeah, we just might do aglio.
Aglio, yeah, of course. And for us, for Italians' perspective, is like difficult, for example, the pronunciation of the R, because you do not pronounce the R quite often, you know?
Yep.
So I'm going there later. You know, you say later, right?
Yeah, that's
we always later. Put the R. We always put the R. For you, it's a silent R. And there are so many other different things that you need to pay attention to. But I always suggest to my audience to practice English every day, to listen to, you know, in your case, BBC or movies in the original language and original podcaster from native speakers, and that's great. So you get into the pronunciation. Someone else told me that pronunciation is really important for a person who wants to improve and learn English properly, because everything starts from there. If you understand the sound of the words, and then it's much easier later on, you know, to pronounce and to get into it, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my tips, you asked for like three tips. That would be about pronunciation, because it's really important. You know, one of the reasons it can be quite hard to make yourself understood in a foreign country is like you might be getting all the words right, but if you pronounce one word wrong, it can really throw people off.
True.
So, yeah, it's good to work on your pronunciation.
So first tip from your side, from your perspective, is pronunciation. So this is like a recurrent thing that I listen all the time. So pronunciation, very important. What else?
On the actual tip on the pronunciation is those problems I was talking about, they're almost always the fault of the vowel sounds and the different vowel sounds that English and Italian has. It's not so much the consonants, it's the vowels. So if you can spend time practicing the English vowel sounds, which are, they're more closed than Italian.
Le vocali, no?
Yes. On vocabulary, my Italian teacher recommended this great app to me called Anki.
Anki.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
A-N-K-I.
Okay, Anki. Okay.
So, was it A-N-K-I?
Correct.
Yep, okay. The reason this is great is it allows you to test yourself on the vocabulary that you want to learn. So you kind of, you program in the Italian and English word pairs that you want to learn. So for example, I wanted to learn the English word loophole and its Italian equivalent, which is, so the idea is testing me on how quickly I remember the word scappatoia. when I see the English word loophole.
When so you say loophole, when you say loophole, you mean the wolf?
No, sorry, loophole.
Ah,
like
okay.
The way we pronounce it.
Okay, loophole. Okay,
is more like loophole.
yeah, it's true. But in fact, I was getting lupo, like the wolf, you know, in Italian, the animal, you know, because I was thinking you were doing an example with an Italian word, but you were doing an example in an English word, right?
Yes, yeah. So in order to remember the Italian, I challenged myself to, here's the English word, what's the Italian word? I hope the word is right now, scappatoia, now that I'm telling you this in public.
Scappatoia.
Anyway, so you have to think of the answer and then you press the button on the app so it gives you the answer. But the beauty of the app is that you have to tell it how easily you remember that word. Mm-hmm. So there are four options, like fail if you didn't remember it at all, hard if you got it right but you weren't sure, good if you got it right but it wasn't super quick to remember, and then easy if you remembered it really fast. And then in future, the worse you do on a particular word, the more likely the app is to test you on it. So it's great because you can put in all the words that you want to learn and then it will make sure it's asking you most about the ones you found the hardest.
That's very clever. So it's like the app automatically understand the one that you remember very well and quickly, and the one that you just fail to remember. So he's kind to repurpose that word later on in the app in the upcoming days, right? Compared to the other that you remember very well. That's quite clever. Yeah. So Anki, you said it's called Anki, the
Anki,
app.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
It's free and it's very flexible. You can put in phrases as well. You can put in sentences instead of words.
Okay, that's great. I mean, that's a proper practical, tip, example, a proper tool to download on the smartphone and to practice. And that's great.
Well, yeah, thank you to my Italian teacher, Carla, for that one.
Okay.
And then my last tip is on written English, like, I know a lot of Italians like to use English online. Mm-hmm. So you and I, we met on Clubhouse.
Yeah, correct.
Right. I don't know if you need to explain what that is.
No. I have created an episode, 3 months ago on February when there was a big hype on Clubhouse about the app. It's like an audio social media, let's say.
Yeah.
And that's great because, I mean, almost all my guests in this podcast, I met them in Clubhouse. And that was for me a great opportunity to listen to people, you know, talking in English, speak with them. About different kind of topic, and that is very informational, is very educational for me, the way I use the app, because I want to improve on podcasting, for example. And so I listen to American Rooms and they're talking about technical thing about podcasting. In Italy, we are a little bit, Italians, you know, we are more like, we are trying to entertain more rather than use it as a form of entertainment rather than for education, for training on things like that, right? Have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've been on it for about 2 months and I have to say it's really, really useful for me because I can just open the app and I can instantly hear Italians like speaking naturally, which is not possible in London unless you sort of follow people around.
Yeah, and it's live. So you can raise your hand, you can get into the conversation, you can also practice your Italian because you can speak with Italians in Italian and you are in London. So that's a great opportunity. In fact, I think it's a great option, Clubhouse, for there are quite a few rooms also that are organized to learn and improve English, to learn and improve any sort of language like French, Portuguese, and all those kind of languages. So it's very common. And as well, you can just listen to what people are saying. So if you want to use it in terms of practice, just listening.
Exactly. You don't have to speak. So it's kind of feeding back into the tip on pronunciation. It's a good idea sometimes to just listen to a real English conversation, and you're in the audience, you're on, you know, no one can hear you, so you can actually just repeat to yourself the way they say things.
Yeah.
To practice your pronunciation.
And that's true. And that's a great, great tool. And also, you know, they are now launching. I mean, this has been already launched on the Android for Android users. So everybody on this planet can now log in Clubhouse and get into some rooms that are interesting for them. They're talking about their topic, but maybe in another language, because someone from France is talking in French about that particular topic, or in English, and so forth. So that's a great, great thing. I always say to my audience, just send me a DM on LinkedIn if you want an invite, because it's still an invitation kind of app, but it will be very soon open, you know, everywhere. So that's a great opportunity. There is Twitter as well doing the same thing with Spaces. I don't know if you heard about it.
I use Twitter a lot, but I haven't bothered with Spaces.
Mm-hmm. Exactly the same thing as Clubhouse, but you know, of course, Twitter is there since more than 10 years. So there are quite a few more users everywhere all around the world. And so, you know, and Facebook is coming up with something similar, and it will be more and more and more, because it's like a sort of revolution, the audio, also the podcasting thing. The podcasts are growing in Italy as well. You know, 2 years ago, there were like just a few podcasts, and now there are like thousands of podcasts on the different platforms, I say.
Yeah, it's great. If you compare that to when I learned Italian 20 years ago, it's much easier now.
Yeah.
just on Clubhouse. So my tip was actually going to be about the writing English.
Okay.
So obviously on Clubhouse, it's a social network. So people have their bios. And I see a lot of Italians often write all or part of their bio in English. Like sometimes maybe just for fun, and sometimes to show other people that they know English. And I've seen a few mistakes, not in your profile, Mattia.
Okay, that's great.
Very good.
Good. Thanks.
And I was thinking, I think there are probably two reasons that people make these mistakes. Like, first reason, I think they might have directly translated an Italian phrase into an English phrase.
True. They use the same structure.
The
same Italian structure to translate English. But the English, of course, the structure of English is completely different.
Yeah. So the phrase probably makes sense to other Italians, but not to English people. So I think be careful on that. And then secondly, maybe they've used Google Translate, which is okay in some circumstances. But I think my tip for people who use Google Translate is to also, when it gives you an English phrase, do a search on Google itself for that exact phrase, and have a look at the number of search results it generates. And if it's a low number of results, that probably means that the phrase isn't natural in English. Yeah, wrong, or we don't use it. So
right,
you have to find a different way to translate it.
Great.
So yeah, that's my last tip. I think you asked for other advice I have for Italians learning English. So I have more on that if you like.
Yeah, go ahead. You know, this podcast is all about this, trying to help more and more Italians to better understand and speak English. You know, this is all about this podcast, and these interviews are like a proper way for them to also listen to native speakers and how you pronounce properly English, of course.
Hopefully I pronounce it clearly enough. I know other people I speak with in English, they think I mumble a bit.
But you know what? The fact is, you have a proper British accent, no?
Yes.
You are like a proper Londoner, you know, with your pronunciation. And then we have Americans that they speak in, you know, differently. They pronounce words differently. And then we have, you know, Europeans, people.
Yeah, there's like an international English.
They're the kind of blending the two things together, or, you know. Yeah. But if you want to understand and properly understand British accent, this is what, you know, you are the perfect example.
Yeah, I was curious, like, if Italians care much about whether they want to learn British English or American English. But my advice on that is, I don't think it really matters too much. Don't worry too much. It's more if you have a chance to go to either country and spend time there, just go for it.
But I think from an Italian perspective, they better understand the American pronunciation compared to the British pronunciation, let's say. Or, you know, if you go in Scotland, it would be even worse in terms of understanding from an Italian perspective.
Hope you in Scotland.
Okay, but, you know, we are in Europe, so it's easier for an Italian to travel in London or in Dublin, maybe, you know, rather than, you know, go in the US or somewhere else, I don't know, Australia or New Zealand or South Africa, you know. And of course, we have this influence with the British accent, but still it's difficult for an Italian to understand when a native speaker speaks in English, you know, and British English, let's say.
Because the content you see is designed to be like clear, like it's proper actors in films.
But in fact, here there is very popular BBC, you know, the BBC News, listen to BBC Radio, listen to the BBC podcast, you know. That's very, very popular in Italy for people. And also, if you go in an English school, let's say, they are more, they tend to push you on the, you know, into the British flag is everywhere. We don't have American flag in here. When you want to say that you are teaching English, you have a British flag, you know, the Union Jack, and you don't have the US flag. Now, that's another thing, you know, because we are more into the British English, let's say.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just on the advice. If you do come to England, I mean, try and avoid spending too much time with other Italians.
Yeah, that's a great advice.
Like, I was guilty of this myself, I realized, when I was in Milan, because I was living with my English cousin. So no wonder, actually, my Italian wasn't as good as it should have been. 2 years ago, maybe, I remember meeting I was talking to a barman who was Italian. And he said he learned much more English by going to Dubai.
Yeah, it's an international
city. Than being in London before, because he knew so many Italians here.
Yeah, it's true.
He had to go there where there were fewer Italians.
If you want to, you know, make an experience, go and work as a waiter for 6 months, let's say in London. Yes, that's a great suggestion. It's a great advice. Do not choose a flatmate. That is Italian, but you know, try to stay with people from different from different countries. So you are pushed to speak in English, to communicate with them, you know, and that's a great tool.
By the way, on the idea of working as a waiter, I would say now is a really good time, because there is there's a shortage of restaurant staff in London, and the restaurants are having to pay more money to recruit people.
It's true.
I think because so many people who are from Europe went home during the pandemic.
But also because of Brexit, you know, it's difficult because of Brexit, it's very difficult to have a work permit. You need to have a contract up front before.
Yeah. Do you have to earn over £30,000?
Yeah, something like that, I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Sorry. I apologize for my government doing that as well. I'm not in favor.
Guarda Daniel, il fatto della Brexit, adesso ti parlo in italiano così spezziamo un po'. Il fatto della Brexit è legata al fatto che la UK ovviamente ha lasciato l'Unione Europea, no? E adesso è molto più difficile. Prima chiunque poteva prendere un aereo e rimanere a Londra a lavorare come cameriere, come commesso, come receptionist, no? Era un classico, no? Per iniziare la tua carriera. Ed era fondamentale per imparare l'inglese, per poi poter fare l'application di un job, di un lavoro che era più legato alle tue competenze, no? E quindi poter crescere. E questo era fantastico. Adesso molto meno. Quindi immagino gli hotel, i ristoranti a Londra, quanto a difficoltà, tu parlavi di shortage, cioè quanto poco personale possano trovare. Ovviamente, pur di avere del personale, adesso saranno disposti a pagare molto di più, corretto?
Sì, sì. Abbiamo fatto il Brexit, ben ci sta.
Ben ci sta, questo mi piace. But listen, Daniel, where can we find you, you know, online? You know, I don't know if you have a website or, you have a social page or something like that. And where can we read your articles as you are journalist?
Right. So I'm a journalist retraining to be a translator. But so in the future, I kind of want to do both. I'm freelance. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of like switching between journalism and translation. So later this year, I when I graduate, which is after this summer, I want to launch like a proper brand for my translation business.
Okay.
But I'm not yet ready to talk about that. I'm still thinking about how to market myself. So I'm going to keep that under wraps for now.
But we can find you, definitely we can find you maybe on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I do have a website to market myself as a freelance journalist, which is danielferryjones.com.
Okay. danielferryjones.com.
Yeah. You can see how my name is spelled on the on the blurb.
Yeah, no, I will leave a description. Yeah, a description of the episode, and I will.
So in my real surname there is a hyphen. In my web address, no hyphen.
Hyphen el trattino. Okay.
Trattino, yes. Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm using LinkedIn more and more. I'm on Twitter, which is a lot of journalists are on Twitter.
Yeah.
Clubhouse, obviously. I see a lot of Italians use Instagram. So I have Instagram, but I haven't really used it a lot. So I'm trying to use it a bit more.
Yeah, me too. I opened an Instagram account as Praticamente Inglese, which I used it just for receiving DMs from people, you know. But I'm not using it to create, more content because my product, let's put it this way, is just audio. No, it's just a podcast. I should do more. I maybe post stories just to let people know that the new episode is out and things like that. But I should use Instagram more because, as you said, Italians are using Instagram more and more. And also TikTok is quite popular. But it's the kind of thing that I'm not really into it. So I'm a bit scared to get into those things that I don't really know how to use it, you know.
I'm an old guy. I'm not sure like I'm right for TikTok, but it is interesting. Like it could be fun to present the idea of like Italian to English translation.
There's a big reach, organic reach of your content on TikTok. So there are so many people watching TikTok stories and videos and whatsoever. So that's another thing. But thank you very much. Thank you very much, Daniel, for being with us.
You're welcome. And thank you again for inviting me on.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, of course, you're a native speaker and you are learning Italian. So that was great for me, you know, to tell people, you know, to tell people your story, you know, the difficulties that you find in, learning Italian or, you know, improving in Italian. And at the same time, as a native speaker, just, the way you think we should do, what we should do in order to improve our English as Italians. So thank you very much for being with us. I just want to remind everybody that, of course, Praticamente Inglese is on the platforms, Spotify, Spreaker, it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Amazon, everywhere. And also we have those pages, like social pages, like on Facebook, YouTube, on Instagram, Telegram. It's more about just to let people know that the new episode is out. I will do more and more things later this year. I'm just thinking about it. And, but that's something that, you need to stay tuned in order to know. And thank you again for being with us, Daniel. And to all my audience, I'll see you in the next episode. Bye bye.
Bye.